Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5:30. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. Coming up, police responded to an incident at Strabane Magistrates Court this morning in which a man sustained burn injuries. We'll have a report. The Education Minister, Hildegard Nocton, has agreed to visit St. Eunan's College in Letterkenny in the coming weeks to discuss the need for improvements there. Sinn Féin say the energy crisis continues to punish people and it's accusing the government of still not getting it. Meanwhile, Taoiseach Micheál Martin says he does not feel under threat from his party, despite a number of moves by members to call for a special meeting in the coming weeks. Later we'll have the sports news with Mark coming. That's coming up at around about 6:15. But we begin with an incident at Strabane Magistrates Court this morning in which a man sustained burn injuries. Police are investigating and say a suspect remains at large. With more, here is Ella Anderson.
At 10 to 11 this morning, it was reported a man had thrown hot water over another man, causing burn injuries to his face and upper body. Northern Ireland Ambulance Service also responded to the incident and took the victim to hospital for treatment of his injuries. Police say the suspect ran away from the scene and efforts are ongoing to identify, locate and apprehend him. The PSNI is liaising with the Northern Ireland Courts and Tribunal Service regarding this incident. As inquiries continue to establish exactly what occurred, they are appealing to anyone with information or footage which may have captured the suspect leaving the scene to get in touch.
Education Minister Hildegard Nocton has agreed to visit St. Eunan's College in Letterkenny in the coming weeks. A delegation of staff, students and parents met with the minister and department officials in Dublin this morning to discuss the exclusion of the school from the latest capital development programme, despite the fact that planning permission for much needed improvement work is already in place. On today's Greg Hughes show, the principal, Damian McCrory, said it's too early to say if the meeting was productive, but he says they were listened to.
We'll see what happens in the next while, and that will tell whether the meeting was productive or not. All five Donegal TDs were present at the meeting, along with two senators, and the building unit was there as well. So from that point of view, it was productive. Everyone got to hear firsthand, the daily challenges that we have to put up with. A site visit will take place before the end of this academic year. So hopefully sometime in May. We haven't been given an official date yet.
Sinn Féin says the energy crisis continues to punish people and is accusing the government of still not getting it. Donegal TD Piers Doherty says the coalition is expecting a pat on the back for its postponement of the increased carbon tax. He told the Dáil people will instead face the higher cost in the depths of winter. He said the government still isn't listening.
You still simply don't understand the lives people are living. You don't understand the fear of that bill landing that can't be paid, or that quiet dread of a cold home, or the constant calculation just to get through to the end of the week.
Well, the Taoiseach and Finance Minister Simon Harris told the Dáil price caps at petrol and diesel pumps aren't a feasible option to tackle high costs. The measure has been called for by some protesters, but Simon Harris is ruling it out. He told the Dáil this afternoon, price caps don't work.
We believe it transfers the cost from the forecourt to the taxpayer. It doesn't disappear, it just transfers the cost. And we believe it has very significant budgetary implications in terms of the delivery of public services. Because it doesn't actually reduce the cost, it just transfers the cost from the forecourt to the taxpayer. It's not free money, it has a real impact and it would cost many, many billions.
An expert is warning the price of fuel could double by the end of the year. Diesel could reach €4 per litre, it's been claimed, if the conflict in the Middle East continues. That's according to Dr. Oliver Brown. He's a lecturer in accounting at UCC's Business School. He says that would be the worst case scenario.
If it continues beyond mid-May, we start to see those structural supply issues come in and we start to see oil spike. Some analysts think 150, something 200, something 250. The estimate will be somewhere between 150 and 250 just due to the significant disruption of supply that's happened, and that would pass on into a doubling of the overall fuel cost at the pump then.
Well, the supply issue becoming highlighted now by the International Energy Agency, it's warning Europe has around 6 weeks of jet fuel left. Its chief says flight disruptions could soon start if oil supplies remain blocked by the Iran war. It follows similar warnings from airlines Ryanair and Virgin Atlantic. They say suppliers have guaranteed jet fuel until around mid-May. That's according to Bloomberg. The IEA boss, Faith Birrell, says passengers could soon feel the impact.
If we are not able to open the Strait of Hormuz, I can tell you soon we will hear the news that some of the flights from City A to city B might be cancelled as a result of lack of jet fuel.
The Taoiseach says he doesn't in any shape or form feel under threat from his party despite growing criticism of the government's handling of the fuil protests. It follows a fiery week within Dáil Éireann with Kerry TD's Danny and Michael Healy-Rae turning their backs on the coalition while three Fianna Fáil backbenchers called for their party to go back to its roots. Meanwhile, a number of Fianna Fáil TDs are appealing for an urgent meeting to discuss their concerns. Others have been out defending their party leader. But Micheál Martin says the government has a responsibility to its people and he isn't feeling the pressure.
We had an obligation to our people and to the state to make sure that those blockades on the oil refinery in the middle of a supply crisis potentially, that would not stop refining. And we were warned it would. It was on the cusp of ceasing refining. And in the context of what's happening around the world, that would have been that would have done damage to Ireland.
Over €243,000 has been awarded to Donegal to support five projects under the 2026 Community Monuments Fund. Maharagallan Church and Graveyard and Asaroe Abbey received the highest allocations. O'Donnell Castle, Dunkneely Digital Heritage Trail and Dune Fort also received support. Full details on highlandradio.com. President Catherine Connolly has convened a meeting of the Council of State regarding the constitutionality of the International Protection Bill. It was voted through by the Dáil last night. The President may, after consultation with the Council, refer the bill to the Supreme Court to decide on whether it's acceptable to the Irish Constitution. Despite being welcomed by the UNHCR, some groups working with asylum seekers have been expressing concern over the bill. The meeting takes place next week. An Inishowen councillor says money must be made available to ensure the Fort Dunree project in Inishowen proceeds after Fáilte Ireland agreed to fund a new planning application. Last year, An Cumasúil na Pleanála refused permission for the project due to concerns around the treatment of wastewater on site. When funding was first approved in 2021, the cost of the project was €12.5 million. It was set to be the single biggest investment in Donegal tourism ever. But local councillor Fionnán Bradley says the cost is likely to rise substantially. But he's hopeful that won't be an issue.
I would certainly be hopeful that when they are now committed to funding the application itself, that they will then follow that through. But there are certainly going to be challenges, and in particular from the council side around match funding. At the minute, we need to raise €69 million for all the projects that we have in the books right now, and we're only able to raise about half of that. Very difficult conversations are going to have to be had by the council about how we raise that match funding and about prioritisation of projects. But I'll be doing all I can to see that Fort Dunree has progressed.
A Donegal company has been ordered to pay a complainant €106,000 after it was found he was discriminated against. The complainant, who has a disability, alleged age discrimination, alleging that the respondent agreed a different pay system with a younger worker. It was also stated the respondent failed to pay a previous award made by the WRC, and the complainant alleged that to be further discrimination on the grounds of victimisation. With more, here's Ryan Brody.
The adjudication officer in the case references an earlier WRC decision in January 2024, awarding the complainant €6,560.78 in respect of unpaid wages. It was the complainant's contention that the failure to pay the award constituted an act of victimisation. The adjudication officer noted the respondent had not appealed or provided any alternative reasonable explanation to date in respect to this breach of a previous decision. It was submitted that the complainant was discriminated against on the grounds of his age and disability, claiming he received less favourable treatment than a younger salesman for the respondent company, who did not have a disability. It was claimed this is a clear case of the respondent trying to push the complainant out and replace him with a younger salesman with no disability to be the face of the company. The complainant was suspended from his employment prior to the WRC hearing after asking the respondent whether he intended to resolve the WRC complaint in relation to unpaid wages. The adjudication officer upheld the complaint.
There's a link to the full report on our website, highlandradio.com. The Lifford Stranraer Municipal District is losing out on funding because it doesn't have a coastline. Councillor Patrick McGowan says he's proposed a number of times that a map be produced showcasing the landmarks within the MD and also highlighting the centrality of the area as a base from which to tour Donegal and further afield. He says other areas get funding for beach facilities and piers, which are not available in Lifford Stranraer, even though, he says, local rates and charges help support initiatives elsewhere.
There's an awful lot of projects here, and I would fully support them, all the council does. And even if they got €1 million from the government, the council, they have to match fund it. And it's the ratepayers and the property tax and everybody else, and the Fen Valley contributes to that. This area gets nothing out of that. And I don't begrudge it to the rest of the county. I'm asking for level playing field, and it's not much to ask to get it, but a proper marketing for this area.
An MEP for Midlands North West is calling for a common definition of rape to be adopted by the European Union. Maria Walsh says this is after the passing of legislation on gender-based violence, where a unanimous agreement to the term could not be reached. She highlights the disparities between EU member states on the issue, with Czechia not ratifying the Istanbul Convention, which aims to prevent harm against women and girls, while Spain promotes only yes means yes. Ms. Walsh says some of the work that's going on needs to be highlighted.
If we do not have an EU-wide definition, then we end up with a very imbalanced, very technical and often on the side of the perpetrator, not the victim and survivor, when you look right across the EU. And this is what I spoke to our Commissioner Hajab Labib, who's over equality, along with many other commissioners over these last months. But Commissioner Labib is responsible for delivering this. We could not get it in the last mandate, and therefore we're really driving to make it in this one. We've had at the Gender Equality Committee, for those listening and probably wondering why on a Thursday morning I'm speaking about something so horrendous, but a couple of weeks ago at an EU level in the Gender Equality Committee, we passed a legislation that literally called for this clarity and definition. Sadly, we didn't get all MEPs in the room to agree. We had close to 30 who said no, but over 70 who said yes, and a number of abstentions. So that just kind of goes to show you culture. The definition is needed to be clear. And then to take it home for those listening, I mean, CSO figures, only looking at CSO figures, they estimate about one in five women in Ireland have experienced non-consensual intercourse, so have been raped in their lifetime.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports Letterkenny. Find everything you need to start your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 6:15. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Nottingham Forest have the Europa League semi-finals in their sights this evening. It's 1-1 between them and Porto ahead of the second leg of their quarter-final. It's been a turbulent year at the City Ground, with the club also in a relegation battle in the Premier League. Manager Vitor Pereira says their challenges should be embraced by the players.
It's a pleasure to be here, you understand? It's a pleasure to face Porto in Europa League, to face Aston Villa the game before. It means that we are here, we are fighting, we are alive.
Elsewhere, Aston Villa are up against Bologna, where they lead 3-1 on aggregate. Both of those games kick off at 8. There's also quarter-final action in the Conference League. Troy Parrott's AZ Alkmaar will be looking to overturn a 3-goal deficit when they take on Ukrainian side Shakhtar Donetsk. That game is just getting underway. Afterwards, Crystal Palace will look to get over the line against Fiorentina. They lead 3-0 heading into the second leg, with the game set to get underway from 8. Liverpool have confirmed Hugo Ekitike will miss the rest of the season with what they have called a serious Achilles injury. The forward was stretchered off after slipping in the first half of Tuesday's Champions League quarter-final defeat to Paris Saint-Germain at Anfield. He also won't be able to play for France at this summer's World Cup. And Manchester City have confirmed that Bernardo Silva will leave the club at the end of the season. The Portuguese midfielder won 19 trophies across a 9-year stint in the Premier League. In a statement released this afternoon, Silva thanked the fans and his manager Pep Guardiola, adding that he'll be a Manchester City supporter for life. In MMA, Donegal's Derek Kelly is one half of the main event at this evening's PFL Belfast card at the SSE Arena. A knee injury to Belfast native Paul Hughes forced him out of the main event slot against JJ Wilson, so the Mobile fighter got the call to step in instead. Kelly is ranked 7th in the PFL lightweight division and is looking to go 10-0 in his professional MMA career with a victory. Should that happen, it could set up a title fight in the very near future.
They've told me that, you know, if you go in and put him out of there in good fashion, it could be the title shot right away. And they said then, if not, you know, one more win late summer. You know, if I can call it someone in the top five, get matched for that, and then title shot late end of the year or early next year, that's my plan.
In Gaelic Games, the new Donegal goalkeeper jersey was launched today at Michael Murphy Sports in Letterkenny. Among those in attendance were a number of Donegal players, both from the football and hurling sides. One notable attendee was Donegal footballers joint captain Shane O'Donnell. Next week is a massive occasion for his club St Union's as they host the Ulster Senior Football Championship quarter-final clash with Down at O'Donnell Park. O'Donnell says it's going to be a proud day for the club.
Yeah, huge buzz around the town there. The club's obviously delighted to be hosting it there. We have a great pitch, some good facilities there, and there's a lot of work going on there at the minute. But the extra pitch there going in, and we got the Astro there recently enough as well. So, no, the club's putting in a lot of work down there, which is good. And, yeah, it's good. It's great for the town. Nice what it is.
The Munster Under-20 Football Championship returns this evening. Among the games, Cork and Kerry renew their rivalry at Parky Keeve from 7 o'clock. LGFA rules trialled during this year's National League will remain in place ahead of the championship season. The 12 changes were voted through at a special LGFA Congress last night. However, juvenile and under-20 championships will take up the rules next year as their campaigns are already underway. Moving on to golf, LIV Golf Chief Executive Scott O'Neill has told staff the 2026 season will continue uninterrupted and at full throttle. He has responded to reports the Saudi Public Investment Fund is close to withdrawing its financial support for the breakaway competition. Sky correspondent Rob Harris says O'Neill's message is more significant for what it doesn't contain.
Apparently, last week, he was talking about a plan all the way to 2032, talking about the focus being very much this year. Nothing about a long-term plan, no denial, and nothing from the PIF.
Staying with golf, Shane Lowry is due to tee off for the first time since his disappointing final round at Augusta National last Sunday. He tees off at the Heritage Classic in North Carolina at around 20 past 6 Irish time alongside Colin Morikawa. In rugby, Munster have made 8 changes for their URC clash with Benetton this weekend. Dermot Barron, Kelvin Nash and Gene Klein have all returned to start, while Shane Dilley, Andrew Smith, Michael Alatoa, Tom Ahern and Josh Hodnett also come into the side. There's also returns for Ollie Yeager and Brian Gleeson, who have been included among the replacements. Finally, coming up this week on The Score, former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan joins us to look ahead to the big games of the weekend for Harps and Derry City in League of Ireland action and the Ulster Cup final between Kildrum Tigers and Cairn Donagh. Limavady are on the verge of taking the Irish League Championship title. We'll hear from their manager Paul Owens. The new cricket season starts this weekend. We'll be speaking with Letterkenny Cricket Club, who will play at senior level for the first time. But once again, the club are making the call for their own facilities and ground. And we'll hear of a new boxing tournament, remembering the late, great Peter O'Donnell. That's all part of The Score after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Back to you, Donald.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Right, time for Farming News and Views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Firstly, the 2026 National Dairy Beef Weighing Scheme is now up and running. To qualify for payment, live weight data must be submitted for a minimum of 5 eligible calves in a herd and for up to a maximum of 50. The applications for the scheme must be lodged online before midnight on Friday the 15th of May using the MyAgFood portal. And farmers who satisfy the scheme requirements will receive a payment of €20 per eligible calf up to the maximum of 50 calves per holding. Well, a comprehensive €100 million fuel subsidy support scheme to assist farmers, agricultural contractors and fishers facing the unprecedented increases in fuel costs was announced this week. The payments will cover the months of March up to the end of July, which coincides with peak fuel usage on farms. The package comes in response to the sharp rise in prices of marked gas oil, commonly known as green diesel, which has nearly doubled since February due to the ongoing geopolitical instability in the Middle East. But what exactly is coming down the track for Donegal farmers? To delve into matters in a bit more detail, I've been joined by Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Pat, thanks for coming on to the programme. Can I ask you just to outline the main features of this package?
Sure. So there's 4 elements for farmers, 5 in total, I suppose. The first one and the most straightforward, a 10 cent a litre reduction in excise duty on petrol and diesel. So that's straight off the price, so that everybody benefits from that. Then in relation to agri-diesel, the first thing is the extension of the 2.5 cent a litre excise duty cut that came in the first package 3 or 4 weeks ago. there's a further cut of 2.5 cent, which will impact on prices. That came in on Tuesday night after the Dáil vote to approve this package. The third element is that the carbon tax, worth about 2.5 cent, give or take, that was going to kick in on the 1st of May, the increased carbon tax, has been foregone now until Budget Day. So that's just under 7.5 cent in total between those three measures combined. And then finally, 20 cent a litre of a fuel support payment, which will come on all fuel bought between the 1st of March and the end of July to cover those 5 months. And that payment will be made by application. And the way farmers and contractors can trigger the payment is to register for the payment and forward all their invoices of agri-diesel purchases for this time last year. So from the 1st of March 2025 through to the end of July. And the reason that they've picked 2025 invoices, it's not to prevent, fraud or people buying 10 years supply with support, nothing like that. It's to allow the scheme to run now, because if they are, as soon as possible, if it were to involve invoices for 2026, the scheme couldn't really take place until the all the invoices were in and the eligible period had passed, because it's going to be a one-shot deal. Every farmer will apply once, supply all their invoices, and get paid once.
Now, the application process will be key. Is it going to be pretty straightforward, as you suggested there? Are there any sort of potential hiccups foreseen?
For farmers, not really. All you have to be is a BIS applicant and tax compliant, which would be standard. Third element is that I suppose some farmers will lose out, that they'll just be unlucky. They bought their diesel in the end of February last year and they didn't buy again until August. Tillage farmers would probably be more vulnerable to that, buying before the spring and again not until harvest. But I think, as Martin Hayden put it to me on Tuesday when I interviewed him, there are always going to be winners and losers in a scheme like this. It will level out. For agricultural contractors, it's a little more complicated in that there's never been a support scheme for the contractor section. They are being much more impacted by the spike in fuel prices than farmers, because they use far more of it. It's estimated that at this time of year, about 75 million litres of diesel is used every month by farmers and contractors. And even though there's 122,000 farmers and only a couple of thousand contractors, half of that diesel use is by agriculture contractors. I think the need to identify exactly what an agriculture contractor is something that Martin Hayden is working on now. He reckons it's going to be probably July before farmers will receive payment, but he is talking to the banks this week, looking for forbearance, as he put it, from them for contractors and farmers in relation to cash flow, supporting farmers and contractors who are experiencing cash flow issues because of the elevated cost of this crucial input.
And Pat, where do we stand in terms of potential EU assistance on this and extra aid there?
I don't think there'll be any extra aid. The EU is more concerned about the impact on defence, security and the geopolitical, as you put it, impact of the aggression by America and Israel in the Middle East, and by Russia in Ukraine indeed, which has so impacted on input prices over the last 4 years. There won't be much help coming, but what there will be, I think, is no hindrance in that. I think that the EU are nodding to anything that Ireland is willing to put into its own vulnerable sectors. There are issues around state aid, but they're going to be cleared with ease, I think. And everybody understands, I think, that this is a new era in terms of the cost of doing business in high-cost countries like Ireland. Open economies, and as an island nation, we're uniquely vulnerable. We saw that, the impact of the protests and how the blocking of our ports for a few days was causing concern among co-ops, among others, who were struggling to get fertiliser feed and fuel supplies for themselves and their customers. It's obvious that we are very vulnerable as a country. Farmers that I met on the protests were asking questions about why are we building so many data centres? All of the push for renewables has been a waste of time in one sense, in that all the extra renewable energy has been gobbled up by the amount of data centres that have been sanctioned and built in this country. And as a result, we are as energy vulnerable as we were 10 years ago.
And finally, Pat, I take it there will be some sort of system of checks and inspections to make sure everything is being done in the way it should be.
Yeah, but that'll be pretty straightforward because the reality is that there aren't that many oil companies who supply fuel to farmers. And I can't see any issues.
And that was Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, the local authorities' waters programme will host community meetings on water quality in a number of counties this month. In Fallcarragh, there will be a meeting next Wednesday at 8:30 in Anseán Bhearic. The meeting is being held to make people aware of work to improve water quality in their local area, and there will also be opportunities for the public to ask questions and talk to members of the Agricultural Sustainability Support and Advisory Programme. Meanwhile, Agriculture Minister Martin Hayden has said that a review into the governance of Bord Bia is not expected to be completed until next month. The review commissioned by the department had been expected to be completed by April the 30th. However, Minister Hayden has confirmed that this time frame is now unlikely to be met. And spring is in the air and many people might be doing a bit of DIY around their farms and homes. And indeed, Inishowen Co-op is hosting a painting event with demonstrations and advice at its Carndonagh store on Saturday, May the 9th from 10 in the morning to 1 o'clock. And on a lighter note, it's a sign of the times when you see that sales of oil tank cap locks have surged recently. And I see that Inishowen Co-op has been on social media to tell people that cap locks are now back in stock. Finally, Clonlea Co-op's John McClintock celebrated 40 years service in the business this week, and a special cake was made to mark the occasion and well wishes from many of his friends. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. From me, Chris Ashmore, until the next time, goodbye.
Well, the forecast, cloud increasing with outbreaks of rain and drizzle developing into the evening in light to moderate southwest winds. Tonight, mostly cloudy with outbreaks of rain and drizzle, heavy at times. Lowest overnight temperature, 7 to 10 degrees Celsius in moderate to fresh southerly winds. Occasionally strong and gusty near the coast. Tomorrow, Friday, will start cloudy with scattered blustery showers, becoming brighter with sunny intervals as the day goes on. Top temperatures, 11 to 14 degrees Celsius. Moderate to fresh and gusty southwesterly winds. They'll ease by evening. The main stories in brief this evening. Police in Strabane are trying to trace a suspect who fled following an incident out at the Strabane Magistrates Court this morning. A man sustained burn injuries when hot liquid was thrown at him. He sustained the injuries to the face and upper body. The Education Minister Hildegard Nocton has agreed to visit St Eunan's College in Letterkenny in the coming weeks. She met a delegation of staff, students and parents in her offices in Dublin this morning to discuss the exclusion of the school from the recent capital programme. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin says he is not in any shape or form under threat from his party, despite growing criticism of the government's handling of the fuel protests. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Check all today's news, of course, on highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening. The eviction notices for this Thursday evening, the 16th of April. The death has occurred of Conall McHugh, Narn Road, Glentays. Conall's remains are reposing at Shovlin's Funeral Home, Sandfield Ardra, until 8:30 this evening, and again tomorrow from 1:30 until 8 o'clock, followed by removal to St Conall's Church, Glentays, to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to palliative care, care of any family member, or James McGuinness funeral directors. The death has occurred of Patrick Paddy Ferry, late of Siena, Drogheda, Laharden, Rathmullen, and Divine Word Missionaries, Roscommon. reposing at the home of Mary MacDonald, Moonhaven, Ulster Lane, Drogheda, from 5 o'clock until 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. Removal from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:30 to Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Drogheda, arriving for funeral mass at 2 o'clock, which can be viewed on the parish webcam. Burial afterwards in Newtown Cross Lawn Cemetery. The death has occurred of Gerard McLaughlin, Whiston Road, London, formerly off Quigley's Point. Gerard's remains are reposing at his sister Frances Arbuckle's home at Burnstown, Burnfoot. Removal from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:15, going to St. Columbus Church, Drung, for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on MCN Media. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Jack John Mackey, Church Street, Rimelton, reposing at his home this evening from 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 o'clock. Requiem Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Mary's Church, Rimelton, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Bernie Craig Connolly, 20, Dramahi Park, Ardra. Her remains will repose at McCabe's funeral home today until 9 o'clock and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 6 o'clock, followed by removal to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, at 7. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has taken place of Bernard O'Donnell, The Grove, Bunlan, Milford, reposing at his home until 10 o'clock this evening. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St. Bridget's Church, Golan, with interment afterwards in Milford Cemetery. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.